Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, still waiting for his donuts, aren't you?
I hate you, Jimmy. I'm just going to say that out loud. That is cruel and unusual punishment for a man who ranks it as the number two donut on his top five list. But yes, I am still waiting for a donut. But how are you, Jimmy? It's championship weekend. For 2 weeks, I got asked as I was asked questions of, should we root for Michigan? Should we really want this to happen? I'm like, yes, yes, yes. You want to play for a championship. And I kept saying, you want that opportunity. You want to be in that game. And plus, you get to enjoy Ohio State imploding. That's always fun for Penn State football fans. It's like double joy. Like, hold on, our team gets to go and Ohio State loses to Michigan as a three-touchdown favorite and sort of, you know, loses its religion, shall we say, again. But I know Penn State fans. They wouldn't care if it was Purdue, Minnesota, USC. It's anybody else as long as it's not Ohio State. But in this case, it just happened to be the Nittany Lions going instead of the Buckeyes. It was a great, great day for Penn State football. Getting back to the championship game for the first time since 2016. But Jimmy, you let me down. Done in by the monarch of the cold.
Well, just to fill in the blanks for everyone, Andy made it to the game last week, and after our donut conversation, I thought it'd be nice for me to pick up the donuts for Andy that he likes so much, and I did. But we didn't connect, and it's on me because I got to the game, got out of my car in the parking lot and said, oh my God, it's so cold. I'm not going to wait somewhere for Andy. I'm not going to stay outside 1 minute longer than I have to. I made a beeline to the press box, which meant Andy didn't get his donuts. So I owe Andy donuts. Let's get back to the Nittany Lions, though, Andy. It was what's interesting is I was one of those saying, you know what? I think the best path might be Ohio State beat Michigan. Get yourself the best seeding. Get that ideal number five seed where you'd play number 12. Then if you win you at home, you'd play then the number four seed. They would be a couple very winnable games. And that still might turn out to be the best route that they could have taken. But I think, Andy, Penn State fans were just so sure that Ohio State was going to win that game that they had to say, well, you know what, maybe it's for the best. But what I found in talking to fans in this past week is once it happened, once Michigan beat Ohio State, it very slowly became, oh, wait a minute, this is a conference championship game. This is a really good thing. And who knows, with a win, the Nittany Lions may end up being the number one seed in the playoffs, Andy.
Yeah, they could end up the number one seed in the playoffs, and you get the opportunity to win a championship. I thought it was a path all along. It was a path that the schedule, even before the season, we talked about it, Jimmy. It was a favorable type schedule, and some of the opponents sort of, you know, we knew Washington wasn't going to be the same as a year ago. UCLA wasn't the same as a year ago. The expectation was USC would get better. They got USC's best shot, but not everybody did, right? Like, USC is a very disappointing team. They lost to Ohio State as expected, but they sort of figured out a way to navigate it. And I think they've earned the right to be here because, well, it's, everyone will say, well, they won 11 games. I think they earned a right because they had to do some things differently, and they had to pick themselves off the canvas, and they had to pick themselves off the canvas big time. And they put themselves in the position of win or lose. Yeah, win, and there's some bennies that come with it. First round bye. But, you know, one of the top two seeds, arguably they could be the first. But there's no way they don't get a home game if they don't win this football game. They're just they're in too good a position. And they will always be ahead of Ohio State no matter what. No matter what happens on Saturday, in the end, they will always be ahead of Ohio State in the rankings and seedings when they come out.
Well, I think, Andy, what – and I we'll talk about the playoff rankings next segment and get into more detail. But let's talk about this team itself and the fact that they are in the conference championship game and exactly how they got here. And one of the things – many coaches will say this, it's hard to win games at this level. Well, guess what? Whether it's this year, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, every football game has one winner, one loser, okay? That's always will be the case. But I think what's hard to do is get through a season without losing or without losing a couple games. Oregon proved to be the only team to do that, get through unscathed, even though they had a couple scares. Penn State managed to do it with just one loss, and they managed to escape those games that other teams like Alabama and Ole Miss and Miami were not able to get through, which is you were a favorite and you still found a way to lose.
Yeah, they didn't lose the games. I mean, it's like, what do you remember about this Penn State season? Like, what is the for me, it was like, what stands out about their journey this year, right? And it's interesting. I think they've sort of from the very beginning against West Virginia, they showed they were a pretty balanced and two-way football team. Remember, the defense has been carrying a lot of water up the hill for this football team the previous two seasons. There's just no other way around it. The offense was less than impactful is a good way to put it. This was more balanced. So a couple things I remember the first half against Bowling Green, Jimmy, and how stunning it was to see the defense get shredded like that. But in the end, watching the second half, you realize it was about the other team and it wasn't an indictment on this defense, and this was still a pretty good defense. I know there's two things from the USC game that stand out about the season. First of all, it's Tyler Warren against USC. That's when he became a national name, right? Like, we already knew he was a stud, right? And if you follow the Big Ten or Penn State, you knew he was a stud. He landed on a big stage against USC, and you can't forget the fourth down darts thrown by Drew Aller in that comeback, right? Like, those – remember – for me, the USC game flipped the script for this team. Even though the Ohio State game was ahead, it sort of flipped the script for me because that was, you know, for I can't quantify the reason, but it just seems like every other season, Penn State would have lost that game. I don't know why, but they would have, right? Like, I don't think you disagree with that. But this flipped the script, and it set up after they got knocked sideways. It was against Minnesota where it was 100% time to play to win instead of playing not to lose per se. And yeah, the calls were made. It was the execution of those calls sort of down the stretch and how they played the second half and how tight the game was. It was the execution by the players. Yeah, the calls by the coaching staff and James, they were dead solid, perfect, but the execution stood out to me as these were players taking institutional control of their destiny, and that is one of the biggest things that I remember was these players sort of took accountability for getting cracked sideways against Ohio State in a game I believe in their hearts they think they should have and could have won, and they're not wrong. But they took accountability of that and played some of their best football over the last month, Jimmy. Most complete, balanced. Minnesota gave them a fair, hard, honest shot on the road. You're going to get those. And they found this because this team was in the right spots and had taken care of themselves as a unit, complete offense and defense. I say that really, really important. that is why they are playing for a Big Ten championship.
And Andy, yes, I think those two games specifically, Minnesota and USC, those are games that, again, you know, James Franklin gets a lot of criticism, the inability to win big games. And those games, other teams this year, other really good teams found themselves in that similar position and they didn't find a way to win. So Ohio State, I've often been saying that about the Southeast Conference teams, you know, with the three losses and still arguing to get into the tournament. Well, don't lose to Vanderbilt, okay? And we're going to talk about the playoff rankings and how Alabama is still probably going to be in it. But Ohio State, now, I'll use the Big Ten example. This wasn't losing to a national championship contending Michigan. This was losing to essentially a 500 team.
Yeah, it was a 500 team by two touchdowns. And Ohio State lost in, like, they imploded. Like, all the pressure was on them, and they crumbled. I mean, the last quarter of that game, Ohio State had no say in the outcome. Think about that, Jimmy. In the fourth quarter of a tied football game, Michigan took complete control of the football game and gave Ohio State absolutely no say in that outcome. They didn't even have the ball. They ran seven plays the last 18 minutes.
And Michigan and their quarterback tried to give the game to Ohio State. When they got deep in Ohio State territory, he threw the interception.
Correct.
And at that point, the feeling is, all right, here it's going to be the ending that we all expected. Ohio State had to sweat it out. But no, Ohio State still found a way to lose that game, lose to a mediocre Michigan team. And Andy, like I said, that's been the narrative throughout college football this year. Andy, that's going to be the final word in quarter number one. We got lots more to go when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, in quarter number one, we talked about how this Penn State team got to where they are playing in this conference championship game. I mean, it's coming up. It's right here. But before we get to the playoff rankings, which I want to talk to you about because they're so important in determining what's going to happen after these championship games, real quick, I did want to hit you on something because you and I chatted about it earlier this week. Was in that Ohio State-Michigan game, along with several other games, we had this planting the flag on your opponent's logo at midfield and then the home team defending their turf. I know you had some strong feelings about it. Just wanted to give you that opportunity to address it.
Yeah, I mean, away teams had themselves a day, didn't they? On, like, rivalry, upset, you know, Alabama-Auburn. There was some angsty in that game. Florida State, I know Florida State's a dog, but Florida won the game. And, you know, I think it was a copycat crime. BYU, and there was some flag planting going on in BYU, and it's just angst. I think it was copycat from the Ohio State the rest of the day because they played at noon. And away teams had themselves a day. I don't know. I don't have a problem with, you know, a team that wins. Maybe I don't know why you have to plant the flag on the logo. You already did the damage you needed to do. And the way Ohio State defended it, I'm like, where was that fight in the fourth quarter? And there is no defense of it. Losing, you know, kind of get losing it like that. I thought it was childlike and disgustingly stupid to watch in game after game after game. It's just, it was just disappointing for me as a college football fan. Not because I don't like emotion and I don't think emotion's part of the game. It's because I think when the game's over, it's a double fault. I think you don't need to plant the flag. And why are you defending it so vociferously that it becomes a police incident with mace and spray and punches thrown? And Ohio State, Michigan was the worst, but they weren't the only. So it was just like, it really tarnished what otherwise was a very exciting day for me. I just was left with a bad taste in my mouth at the end of the day, watching SportsCenter Sunday morning and them recapping all the crap. I was like, yeah, this is not good.
Andy, I have a problem with everybody doing everything and coaches doing nothing. The players, don't plant the flag. You won the game. That should be enough for you. You're just instigating trouble planting the flag. Then the home team who had lost the game, defending their turf, as Ryan Day explained away the behavior of his players, wrong. Don't do that. It was wrong. That's what you should say. I know you defend your players and all times, but then I also have a problem when we saw Steve Sarkisian from Texas. As soon as he saw his players trying to plant the flag, he went out and tried to do something about it. I give him credit for doing that. James Franklin did the same thing weeks ago. So when these coaches say there's nothing they could do, they're wrong. Control your players. And if you're seeing an action like that, go out and do something about it. You're the head coach. All right, Andy, let's move on. Let's get to the college football rankings, which came out earlier this week. First of all, I know you've had issues week after week with how the committee ranks them. Any issues with this week's rankings?
Not holistically, no, Jimmy. I think I just had some – I wasn't sure what – data points they were using as sort of a measurable, but I think they were playing a little bit of a long game and trying to see how particularly the mess in the SEC played out, right? Like they were trying to figure out what were the prevalent data points because it just kept getting messier with each passing week. And I think they played the long game. But I did learn, you know, I think it all comes down to this for me is they picked Alabama, right? Miami played itself out of it. They just didn't have enough quality win data points, right? Okay, yeah, all those SEC teams, Ole Miss, Alabama, you know, you could throw South Carolina in there. Good wins and bad losses per se, right? Like South Carolina probably had the fewest bad losses, but they had the least quality wins. You know what I mean? Ole Miss had both. Alabama had both. Which one is better? It came down to Alabama and Ole Miss. And Alabama's no guarantee. Trust me. Depends on what happens this championship weekend. But the committee chose Alabama. Everyone thinks it's because they're a blue blood. I look at, like, you know, against college football playoff teams that are in the top 25, they had a better record. Right, they had the better record. They had the better data point. So, data point is the word I learned, because I also learned that if you're not playing this weekend and you have no more data points, you have no more. In other words, if you're not playing, you have no chance to move. You're not. Miami's not moving. Pretty much Ole Miss is out. Alabama's not playing either. So I think it's Alabama unless somebody pulls off an upset in a championship game and has to be included and bumps them. And that is a real possibility. But in the end, they settled on Alabama.
Andy, I feel like, and I listened to the spokesperson, the head of the playoff committee, who might possibly be the worst spokesperson for anything, anywhere in the entire world. Okay, let me start with that. Going from there, I do believe that Alabama got in because they're Alabama. I think if you exchange resumes, if Miami had lost to Vanderbilt, if Miami had been crushed by Oklahoma and had three losses like Alabama did, they would not have made the playoffs. So I really do think it's about Alabama. I do think it's about the name. And I found it interesting when discussing the data points, he talked about Alabama's better wins. He didn't even mention their worst losses.
But they all have bad losses, Jimmy. That's the common thread. Like Ole Miss, Miami, Alabama. They all have bad losses.
The comparison was those three teams to Miami. Miami had two losses, not three. Miami's losses were close games. But I understand that you do have to take the wins into consideration. But don't forget about the losses.
Correct.
And Alabama's losses were worse than Miami's losses.
To a degree, yes, but neither one of them is playing for a conference championship, right? That's their own doing. So, yeah, I think they got it right. I think the better, more balanced football team is Alabama if it's Alabama versus Miami.
Well, this is a little bit also of Ohio State is a better team probably than Penn State. More talent. If they were to play a game, Ohio State would be favored, okay?
Correct.
So why isn't Ohio State going to the conference championship game then? They're the better team. Well, at some point, Andy, you've got to live with how you played the game. The games themselves have to count for something. Alabama is worlds better than Vanderbilt, but they lost. They are worlds better than Oklahoma, but they lost. Andy, that's got to count.
Here's what we learned, Jimmy. A, they're going to make some changes for next year. We know that. But B, it's not the 14 college playoff system where only the number matters. That is what we've learned this year. It's just not the number. You lose two games or you lose one game. You know, in the four-team system, you're out. You were too long. You're out. You're out. You're out. That's not necessarily the case anymore. So, yeah, I know. It's an imperfect system. We're talking about the last team. I'm just happy we got a 12-team college football playoff, and we're talking about a 13th team.
Now, you talked about the championship games possibly having an effect. The one that would definitely have an effect is the ACC. If Clemson beats SMU – will SMU – Clemson automatically gets in and gets a bye. Would SMU, with this second loss in the conference championship game, would they stay in the playoffs, Andy?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take SMU over Alabama, to be honest with you. I don't know that that's necessarily fair. What about UNLV? If UNLV pulls off an upset and knocks Boise State out, because Boise State is ranked, that's another one. But, yeah, the Clemson one's crazy because Clemson lost to South Carolina last week at home. And if they beat SMU, they're going to – it's either going to be two ACC teams and one less SEC team. We know who they're picking, right, Jimmy?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, Andy, and I think that is SEC bias. All right, let's turn to Penn State playing Oregon, and Texas is going to play Georgia. What happens to the if Oregon loses, they'll drop to the number five seed, the number one at large team. What happens to Penn State if they lose to Oregon?
Home game, it's crystal clear, 100% guaranteed that
six, seven, or eight. Which home seed?
If Penn State loses,
yes,
it depends on who loses the SEC game.
let's say Texas wins for sake of argument, gives Georgia their third loss.
It's five.
You don't think Notre Dame will pass them?
I do not. They have Notre Dame ranked behind Penn State right now. They are not going to punish the championship caliber teams for the data points. They're not going to say, well, Penn State, you lost because you had to play the number one team in the country. Notre Dame's now better than you.
Except for SMU, them you'll punish.
No, because they didn't win their conference championship, and they're on the margins in terms of being a team. I think SMU should be in. That is me personally. If they lose, I think they should be in over Alabama. That's me. That is what I think. I think they should be in, but I don't think I will win that argument over the College Football Playoff Committee.
I suspect you're correct, Andy. I do. All right, that's it for quarter two. Stick around. Coming up, your questions, and we ask Andy. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the College Football Playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. If you want to send a question in for Andy, real simple, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, Andy. Joe from Scranton.
Joe from Scranton kicks off the championship version of Ask Andy. Let's not continue to remind Penn State fans that this is championship weekend. Championship weekend. It's a big deal. Joe in Scranton. Let's go, Joe.
Joe is going to hold Andy's feet to the fire for a comment he made last week. Joe says, what benefit would Drew Aller get by transferring? That's not going to happen. He is Penn State loyal. We need to get a top-flight wide receiver in the portal. Now, Joe was referencing our discussion last week where we got to talking about Drew Aller and the possibility of returning for another season. And you mentioned you thought what would be best for him would be to transfer.
Yeah, I still believe what would be best for Drew Aller, the potential NFL quarterback. I'm not sure, you know, if he's completely NFL ready. Does he need another year? Possibly, maybe. I don't think Penn State, I know he's Penn State loyal, and I respect that greatly. And my sort of thinking is he will stay if he's going to come back. But I think he needs to go somewhere developmentally as a quarterback. He needs to go somewhere where there's wide receivers that are at least in the same zip code as sort of the arm talent, the ability that he has. And, you know, we also know now, we know now this week that even though it doesn't start till next Monday officially, the transfer portal opens December 9th, the USC quarterback is going in. We do know that Oregon, Penn State's opponent this week, we do know that Georgia, right? We now know that USC will need a quarterback. We know that Alabama will probably need a quarterback. Ohio State will probably need a quarterback. There are some opportunities for him to go places where the wide receiver room is exceptionally greater and more advantageous for him as a quarterback. But I do respect and do agree that the he is a Penn State blue blood, true and true. That is relevant and matters as well. I just think if he wants to help himself developmentally as a potential NFL draft pick quarterback, and he stays for another year of college, that having better receivers will help his development. But I still think in the end, if he's going to come back, it's unlikely that he leaves Penn State. I agree with you, Joe, that he's probably not going to go.
I agree also, Andy. And there's also, first of all, the question of would it benefit him to come back? I think there's a lot of quarterbacks in college football who declare for the draft who would have been better off developing another year. But you got to balance that with getting that NFL contract. So I think I would not be stunned if Drew Aller came back. But, Andy, you know, if there's a team out there that wants to draft him in the first round, he's going to go.
Yeah, and if he gets an NFL interest in a draft grade at one, he can make more NIL money. So in today's college football, the money's relevant, but there's NIL money to be had that you can supplement yourself with. And, you know, it's a big deal. Look at the college quarterbacks that went last year that are playing well in the NFL. Bo Nix is a great example. Another year, 12 to 15 more starts. That gets him near 40 games. Started and played as a quarterback. That's important.
And I think that's a great point. Bo Nix stuck around for quite a while. And now part of it was he never really had that breakout season back at Auburn. So he transferred, and it really helped his draft stock. Also, Andy, what I find fascinating is you mentioned Ohio State as possibly needing a quarterback. And what's interesting is they bring in these blue blood quarterbacks every year. It's amazing that they would have to dip into the transfer portal at that position. All right, let's move on. Let's do Henry in Lancaster. He says, Andy, how do you compare this year's Penn State team to the 2016 Big Ten championship team?
So the 2016 team, the biggest difference, I think this team is better defensively than the 2016 team. The 2016 team had Saquon Barkley. That's a difference. I know, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, good, one of the best, if not the best 1-2 combination at running back in college football. I'm going to say it. There, I said it. Quarterback. Different, but, you know, kind of similar production. The difference is that the Penn State could go down the field with the wide receivers. And that 2016 team could stretch a field like they could do it on call whenever they wanted, whenever they needed, whenever presented themselves. And that's the limitation and the difference. I think this team is better defensively. I think that team was more explosive and dynamic offensively.
Yeah, I agree, Andy. Godwin, Deshaun Hamilton, Mike Gesicki, that's a lot of weapons. And by the way, if ever you see Big Ten Network replaying that Penn State-Wisconsin conference championship game, do yourself a favor, watch it. It's so much fun. And, oh, by the way, after I named those receivers, there's a guy named Saeed Blocknell who did pretty well in that game. All right,
Barkley,
Andy.
Barkley on the wheel route, dude. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Let's go to Dan in Monroeville, who says, Andy, who is your favorite to win the national championship?
Oh, man. The most complete team, and we'll get into this in quarter number four, is Oregon. If they can figure out and pick themselves up, Ohio State is a contender. I think three teams in the Big Ten contend. Texas, I'm not sure Texas has enough firepower, but, man, they're hard to beat, right? Like, they're not – Texas doesn't wow you. They just sort of Novocaine you to death, and then all of a sudden you're, like, in a submission hold. You didn't know what you did wrong. That's Texas. Georgia Georgia could win it, but it's going to be, it would have to be chaotic, and it might be 52-49, right? Like, you don't know what you're going to get from Georgia. So I think the most solid, Dan, you asked for who do I think is the favorite, and I would lean heavily on the Oregon Ducks because they are a complete and balanced team with a lot of elements that challenge you. So I would lean with Oregon. That's a really good question, though.
You know what? With that said, I understand, and I would even point out that Oregon is battle-tested and came out a winner every time, okay, they were challenged. There's something to be said for that, Andy, and no other team did that. However, if you had a game where Oregon played either Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, would you be stunned if Oregon lost to any of those teams?
No, not stunned. I don't think there is a heavy favorite this year. There's not a, well, one of these two teams or this team is a heavy favorite to win. I don't think there's that. I think Oregon has proved its mettle. They've had to do like sort of an early, middle, late, right? Like they struggled out of the gate a little bit early, and Boise State pushed them right to the brink early, right? Like it's a, it was a loss. Then Ohio State game, they won that game in a 50-50 game all the way. Wisconsin on the road on a cold night game, it wasn't their best effort, but they found a way to eventually, you know, they won the game convincingly except on the scoreboard, but it wasn't easy. So they've had all the sort of prerequisite tests, and including a game against Ohio State. But I mean, there's the old saying, you can't put an O in, you can't put, you know, Oregon Ducks put the O in choke, right? Like big games. They did it last year. Twice they lost as the better team to Washington. And they're capable of playing short of expectations. I'm not sure the quarterback's going to let them do that this year, and I think the coach is getting out of the way instead of being the problem. He was a problem last year. Dan Lanning was a problem.
Andy, I guess my look at it is not just can Oregon lose a game to those people, but Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ohio State, maybe Tennessee, maybe Alabama, any of those eight teams playing each other, I think I wouldn't be stunned. If there's no game where I say, book it, this team's going to beat that team.
Correct.
And I think that's what really makes this playoff this year interesting. And I do believe we some of us felt going in. Remember in the 4-team playoffs, we would often get those first-round blowouts with big number time. One playing number four. So people are thinking, what about when one plays eight and two plays seven? Well, guess what? This is the year. That's not going to happen. I think there's going to be don't just use the seeding to determine your favorite. All right, let's move on.
One
let's
more.
Go to Walt in Harrisburg, who says, how much effect do you think playing in the cold will have on Southern teams?
Yeah, if it was as cold as it was last Saturday at Penn State, that's going to have an impact, right? Like, it's just a wee bit harder, right? Like you're less comfortable. It takes a little bit more to get going. I think it has a small impact, but I don't think it has a major impact. That's a good question, but I'd say small, not large, but I think it definitely impacts the game at some point in some way, shape, and form. Like the kickoffs don't go as far. It's harder to punt. You can't kick 57-yard field goals. Those are some examples.
And I think if discomfort is a good way to put it for those young men from down south. All right, Andy, that is it for Ask Andy. Coming up, we're going to get Andy's preview of the conference championship game. Stick around for that.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. It is conference championship week. Andy, the Penn State Nittany Lions are part of the conversation. We got to talk about it. Isn't it fantastic? It's Penn State and the undefeated number one ranked Oregon Ducks. By the way, Penn State ranked third. Conceivably, Andy, they beat Oregon. Now, maybe they need help from Georgia beating Texas. Penn State could end up ranked number one. Who'd have thunk it?
They could be a conference championship and have a first-round bye. That opportunity they have earned, and that's a big deal. And I'm also happy on the back end. I'm very happy to see the College Football Playoff Committee clearly iterate that at the Big Ten level and the SEC level, that they will not punish the two teams that do not win those two championship games. At those two levels, the superpower conferences. I know the ACC's got another sort of scenario in there that we already talked about, but I just felt all along that the way college football has reshaped itself conference-wise, that the committee would have to acknowledge that, and they have. So this is a great opportunity for them. It's a good matchup. I like the matchup. I think Penn State matches up better than against Oregon, better than they do against, say, Ohio State. I just don't think Penn State, they might play well sometimes, but somehow they just don't match up well, and they got like a big old mental hurdle. There's no mental hurdle in this game. So I just think it's a real intriguing matchup. Oregon's clearly the more consistent performing of the two teams, right? Like, they had a bit of a slowish start. They've been winning solidly lately, though. The road game at Wisconsin was a little bit of a hiccup, but otherwise, the last month or 5 weeks, they've been winning by 20-plus points. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They're good on third down. Penn State can be shaky on third down. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Penn State's a +7 in the turnover. It's kind of a little bit of a fuel for them. They're just a very consistent team. These teams are very evenly matched. Quarterback, running game, tight end. Both have good defenses. Both make it hard on the opponent. There's just simply one major difference when I look at that, and that's Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel. He's not a better quote-unquote quarterback than Drew Aller. He's a more lethal downfield passer this year because he has the receivers who can actually do that work on a consistent basis and help their quarterback get the ball down the field. Drew Aller he doesn't have much to work with at the wide receiver position. That's it for me. That's the sort of biggest solo one difference in these two football teams that jumps out and grabs me. But otherwise, I see it's a very steady, even, consistent matchup across the board other than that one spot. I mean, both these defenses are top 10 nationally pretty much across the board, right? I love that about a championship game, right? Two really good defenses in a championship game. Excuse me. I had a hiccup. Great matchup when it comes to that level where you have both defenses equal on the same footing.
Andy, you told me earlier this week that you, for a team that wasn't scheduled to play Penn State, you saw a lot of Oregon playing. Who are the folks on Oregon? Who are the players that our listeners should be looking out for on this Oregon team?
Yeah, you look at Gabriel. I like their offensive line. I'm not going to give you their individuals. Both, they're equal, right? The offensive line's equal, big, strong. The running back, Jordan James, right? You know about Penn State's running backs. You need to know about Jordan James, right? He adds some serious thunder to this offense. He's got like almost 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns. The offense moves quick. That's the offensive guy beyond the quarterback. That's the offensive guy that I like that you need to keep an eye on defense. I'm not going to try and say his last name, Mateo. he's not flashy, right? Like he's got 10 and a half sacks a season. That's a good number, but man, just play after play after play. He's so hard to block and he's dominant. He might not make the splash play every time, but man, he is a handful at defensive end. And if it's Mr. Rucci at right tackle for Penn State, he's going to have his hands full. That's the guy on defense. Those are the two names I wanted to give you to keep an eye out for. Jordan James at running back and Mateo on the defensive line for Oregon. They're two standout players that have, you know, and I think the quarterback has Heisman credentials. He's not getting Heisman per se conversation, but I think he has Heisman credentials. But I still think the quarterback is a very pretty much even and balanced matchup.
What does Penn State need to do to win this game?
So they're just going to need, I almost hate to say it, Jimmy. Good question. I hate to say it, but they need to find, they're not going to find it because it's not going to happen because we know it, but they have to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, with the lack of production at wide receivers. That needs to be exceptional. Inside the nitty gritty of the game, third down. Penn State needs to go back to that. Remember that point of the year, it was kind of around USC and when they played Washington, 12, 13, 15 play drives, long possessions, good on third down. It's been in and out on the money down. They need to be really consistent on third down offensively to sort of keep themselves in, give themselves a real chance to win this football game. They need to match Oregon's consistency with their lack of, on offense, with their lack of ability at the wide receiver position by making up for it, by being a team that sort of finishes its drives and make sure it's very good on third down. That's going to be really important. Off the field quickly, Oregon's offense does not take itself off the field. You got to get them off the field. Penn State's offense, unfortunately, can be gotten off the field pretty easily.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit contrarian here, where third down always is the money down. You know, that's what gets you off the field. There's a recent game where Penn State was 7 for 7 in their first, you know, 7 third down opportunities. They converted every time. But, Andy, I think sometimes that's based on what you do prior to third down. And I think when Penn State does poorly on third down, it's when they put themselves in a bad position. They run twice on first and second down, and they leave themselves with third and 8. And I'm going to say it's more about first down and how creative they get on first down. I'll say what I've said on this show for years, Andy. Yeah. Easiest down to throw the ball is first down. Because folks, you know, when you have established, you're trying to establish the run, and I'm going to run the ball on first down, it opens up like play action on first down. I think that's your easiest, best opportunity to throw the ball. And if you start throwing the ball on first down, you'll loosen up the defense and you'll be able to start running the ball. That's what I would like to see from this Penn State team, Andy.
Yeah, and does Wallace play, right? And he didn't play last week, right? Like, he provides just the modicum of sort of consistency and a little bit of next level route running on occasion that this wide receiver group can produce. And his absence is noticeable, right? Like it kind of wasn't the Maryland game, and then it wasn't because the Penn State defense settled in and just took over. But his absence is noticeable. So him even bringing that little bit to the table, his availability will be important. I really feel that. But I do agree with you. Penn State's going to have to open it up, and they're not going to have to be afraid to take some chances. They have to play to win from minute number one. They have to be the more of the risk-taking side, right? They have to do more, a little bit more outside the box to sort of, if they want to win the championship, they've got to go further outside the box than Oregon.
I agree with that. And Andy, I think they have the quarterback to do that in Drew Aller. I think there's been times when they've handcuffed him this year, and when they've set him free, when they've needed to, in using USC again as the example, down a couple touchdowns, they had to open things up, let Drew Aller toss the ball down the field. And guess what, Andy? It works. It does work. Well, we've got still 2 minutes left, Andy. I want to give you enough time, give your prediction for the game, and give me a bold prediction.
Yeah, so Penn State has there's no pressure on – there's a lot of pressure on Oregon because they're the undefeated number one seed, right, number one team. Penn State doesn't have any pressure. They avoided the upsets that have plagued everybody else, right? They should take solace in that, right? They have been a surging team the last month. Continue that trend, right? Like, I look for that. I see a key for Penn State in this game at the defensive end position. Dylan Gabriel's very good in space. He uses his legs well. He likes to move the pocket. He's comfortable there. He's experienced. He knows where to look downfield. He likes his eyes. He is not going to have the same time and space he's used to because of those two monsters on the end. They make space evaporate quickly. That's going to be a very big key for Penn State, is can they force him to have to adjust to what he's comfortable with? I don't think there's 8 out of 10 scenarios. It's an 80-20 game for me. I think Penn State has a 20% chance of winning. I'm going to pick Oregon to win 27-20. I think it's a football game. I love the championship defenses, top 10 caliber both across the board in the country. That is a very intriguing matchup for me. And here's my bold prediction. If Penn State wins, it will be via 2 interceptions by the secondary that sparks the upset. It has to be something different. So that's where I'm going with my bold prediction.
I think a pretty good call there, Andy. I'm going to stick with the Nittany Lions. I think they could win this game. I've got it a close game, pretty much a toss-up. I'll go with the Nittany Lions, 27-24. And you know what? I think it's going to be on Drew Aller. And big games, the big stars come out. Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren, they're the stars, Andy. All right, that's it for our show. Everyone, enjoy the game. Make sure you tune in next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.